Our First Testament lesson today comes from Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 21. You can follow along in the Pew Bibles on page 61. Let's listen to what God is telling the world today. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them and against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth as the Egyptians fled before it. The Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn our attention now to the text that's before us, Romans from the 6th chapter. And before I read, I just want to make a couple of notes. First, this really is a letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to a church in Rome, a church that was under great duress. Because in the first century, to be a Christian in the Roman Empire meant that you were anti-Rome. They saw you as a traitor because you didn't worship the gods and goddesses of Rome, and often that meant you would lose your job, you would lose your family. It was incredibly difficult to be a Christian in Rome. Also, Paul's letters were written long before any of the Gospels. And we're going to read about the resurrection. And so the resurrection was key to Paul's entire understanding of who Jesus was and what Jesus accomplished. So we're in chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. But whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I was tired of dying. It seemed as if that's all I ever did. No matter how hard I tried, I died, and I died quickly. I don't remember exactly when it was that Cindy and I bought our son Andy his first Nintendo console. And his favorite game became Super Mario Brothers. I quickly came to regret that, because if any of you have ever heard the music of Super Mario Brothers over and over and over and over again, it just burrows into your brain and you can't get rid of it. But what was interesting about Andy was it seemed as if somehow his brain was directly connected to his fingers, to the controllers, to the game, and it just, you know, it was like he was a Jedi. It just all flowed out, and Mario did whatever he wanted to, and he would move from level to level to level. And he finally asked me, he said, "Dad, come on, you need to try this. This is great. This is fun." I said, "Sure, how hard could it be?" Beep, 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 die. Beep, 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 die. "No, Dad, you have to jump here, you have to slide here, you have to press this button here, beep, beep, die." I'm not sure I've ever been so discouraged in my entire life. It was a humbling experience to watch my probably 12-year-old son just totally annihilate me on Super Mario Brothers. But I was thinking about that this week as I was considering my own sort of spiritual journey, my striving to live in the way of Jesus. Because that's really what we're all called to do. We are called to be disciples is sort of that big word, but I like to think about it as living in the way of Jesus. And we all know what that looks like. I mean, if we sat down, it means we love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to forgive as we've been forgiven. We are to forgive and pray for our enemies. We are to be kind and compassionate and considerate of others. We are to share what we have. If someone is hungry, we are to feed them. If someone is thirsty, we are to give them water. If someone is lonely, we are to visit them. There is this way of Jesus that Jesus embodied in his life. And this is what we are supposed to do. And I think I, like many of us here this morning, I try my best. And then I get in my car. And suddenly, all of that practice and all of that training just goes right out the window. I become this entire, as my wife says, I become this entirely different person. She has no idea who I am in the car. I am certainly not following in the way of Jesus. And if that doesn't work, then I drive down to Kroger and go in the parking lot, and then I really am not following in the way of Jesus. And it's discouraging. It's discouraging because I've really tried my best, and suddenly something happens, and I die. Just like with Super Mario Brothers, and I'm discouraged. Any of you ever feel that way? You just work at it, and suddenly you're just... Well, if you think you've ever been discouraged, you haven't been quite as discouraged as the Romans. This church in Rome, we learn this from the opening of Paul's letter. Basically, they are so discouraged, they've given up. They've quit trying. This is what Paul means when he says, "What then are we to say? Should you continue in sin in order that grace may abound?" In other words, and here I'm gonna sort of drop the language of sin, though it's through here, because sin means all sorts of things for most of us. It could mean one thing or two things. But instead of sin, I want us to think about it as the unway of Jesus. Okay, the unway of Jesus is the way that Romans lived. Rather than showing compassion, they showed violence. Rather than forgiveness, they sought revenge. Rather than humility, they sought pride. Rather than giving, they sought greed. That was the ethos of the Roman Empire. And so what had happened is that these Christians in Rome had become so discouraged that they'd given up trying to live in the way of Jesus and had gone back to living in the unway of Jesus. So what Paul is doing in this short piece of his letter to them is he's giving them encouragement to keep trying. He's saying, don't give up. Don't give up trying to live in the way of Jesus. Instead, keep trying, because You're capable of doing it through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He's saying the resurrection of Jesus makes it possible for people to live in the way of Jesus. Now, I realize that may sound a bit strange, because normally when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, we do it at a memorial service, at a funeral service. We think of the death and resurrection of Jesus as something that's really good to have, but it's out there. We'll sort of put it in our pocket until that moment when we're going to die, and we'll pull it out and remind ourselves that there's this thing called eternal life. But that's not the way Paul sees it. Paul sees the death and resurrection of Jesus as something that literally transforms creation. It transforms the world in the now, in real time, not just something that happens after death. And the way Paul sees it is that the death and resurrection of Jesus make two things possible that we should be encouraged by. The first is that it gives us power to live in the way of Jesus. And the second is it sets us free to live in the way of Jesus. Why? Because the death and resurrection of Jesus defeated the power of the unway of Jesus. Now, Paul doesn't give us the physics or metaphysics of how this works. He doesn't try to explain it away. What he gives us, though, are two images that we are to hold on to, that are to encourage us. And the first image about where we get the power to follow in the way of Jesus comes from this idea that when we are baptized, we die to the unway of Jesus and we live to the way of Jesus. Listen. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. In other words, the image is we're alive, we go down into the waters of baptism, and we come out a different person. We come out as those who are empowered to live into the way of Jesus. How many of you know who Peter Parker is? All right. So Peter Parker is just this kid. And what happens to him? He's bit by not just a spider, a radioactive spider. And he becomes
Spider-Man.
Right. So hold that image in your mind for just a minute. That's the image of this being a kid on one side of baptism. We go through baptism, which is that radioactive spider that bites us, and we come out on the other side as a superhero. Right? See, this is the image that Paul is using, that we go from an ordinary person, that somehow in the waters of baptism, we become these extraordinary people who have the power to follow in the way of Jesus. That's the first image. The second image of where we find freedom to follow, that comes through this image of the Exodus. Remember, Bethany read part of the Exodus passage where you have the Israelites there on the Egyptian side of the sea, and they are being pursued, and they are not free, and yet they go through the waters, and up they come on the other side, and suddenly they are free to be God's people. That's the other part of what Paul means with baptism. So you begin on this one side as those people who are captives, and you go down in and you come out the other side. Listen again. We know that our old self over here was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to the unway of Jesus. We cross from one side to the other and we're free. Those are the two images that Paul offers to the Roman church to say, don't be discouraged, be encouraged. because you have the power and the freedom to live into the way of Jesus. Now, I wish I could say to you that now that you know that, you'll never be discouraged again. That you'll just be able to live into the way of Jesus every day and life will be great. Yeah, I know better than that. That is not the way it happens. There will be those moments when, regardless of how hard we try, we are going to beep, 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 die. It just isn't going to be. But just like in Mario Brothers, remember, you have unlimited lives. You have unlimited lives to start over, to find encouragement, and to try again. And not only that, but the reality is that the church over the last 2,000 years has discovered ways in which we can find the encouragement we need. Because we all need encouragement, right? Somewhere along the way, when we're feeling discouraged, we need something that will lift us up, something that will encourage us and help us to try again. And over the next 6 weeks, the sermons we're going to be offering from this pulpit and this chancel are about encouragement along the way. They're about those places and practices and ways that each of us can be encouraged in our striving to follow in the way of Jesus. So I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll come and find those ways so that when suddenly your life goes beep, beep, die, you won't be discouraged, but you'll hold on to the encouraging word and try again to follow in the amazing way of Jesus. Because, my friends, you have the power, you have the freedom. We can all do it. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that somehow mysteriously in the waters of baptism, we have been set free from the unway of Jesus and we've been given the freedom to follow you. Give us all we need to do that every day. And never let us be discouraged, but find the encouragement we need to try again. In Christ's name, amen.